This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
You know, it's so lovely as a radio presenter to be able to play any music I want to on my half-hour programme. So today I've decided to open with my mother's favourite hymn, as it's her 95th birthday today. Her name's Elizabeth Bell, known as Bess or even Liz to some folk. And it's a hymn by Charles Wesley called And Can It Be? Happy birthday, Mum.
And can it be?
And Can It Be was the most popular of all Charles Wesley's hymns. It was written in 1738 to celebrate his conversion to Christianity. Its most dramatic verse is the one which tells of someone stepping out from darkness, the darkness of a prison cell, chains miraculously falling from them as they walk to the light and freedom in Jesus Christ. Something similar can be heard in our gospel reading today, which is Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Matthew then draws a parallel here by quoting from Isaiah, words written hundreds of years before this, which mentions these very places. In verse 15 we read, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned." This verse seems prophetic. Isaiah pinpoints the exact spot on the map that a great light bursts upon people living in darkness. Now, some people might well wonder, is this not some self-fulfilling prophecy, an area which Jesus travels to in order for Isaiah's words to come true? But let's put it this way. He certainly didn't have to travel from Paris or Timbuktu to be there. No, he wasn't all that far from where he actually grew up. Jesus is the one Matthew identifies as that great light, as a prophecy by Isaiah. And soon Jesus himself would claim to be the light of the world, saying that those who followed him would never walk in darkness but have the light of life. Our next hymn by Stuart Townend and J.K. Jameson has this to say. the light of the world preached justice for all, defying the proud and defending the poor, then humbled himself to death on a cross to crush the oppressor and rescue the lost. Here is the light of the world.
The light of the world made history begin, spoke time into being, caused planets to spin, flung galaxies wide through infinite space to sing of his splendor and fathomless grace. The light of the world now shone as a man and walked through the valleys he carved with his hands, a servant to those he breathed into life. He felt our injustice and shared in our strife. Come, come, daughters and sons, look to the light of the world. Sing, sing praises to him. Simply believe you will receive mercy and love without measure.
Like moths are drawn to a flame, people sought Jesus out. Those who heard his words and saw him healing the multitudes began to follow him, to be drawn to him. From all sorts of darkness, such as poverty, sickness, and sin, they ran to his light. But Jesus knew that the people were also downtrodden and oppressed by the Romans, whom they hated, and some thought they could solve their problems with aggression and uprisings. But Jesus knew that they couldn't hope to be victorious by fighting darkness with darkness. This would only put them in great danger. He encouraged them to do only what was right and good and true and loving. This is what Scripture calls walking in the light. Long ago in Japan, there was a village. And in this village lived a man in a house on a hill that overlooked the ocean. One summer's eve festival, the local shrines were filled with people celebrating. Eager to join the festivities, the man changed into his exquisite kimono. As he was changing, however, he suddenly felt the earth shake violently. He remembered words of advice from the village elders. After a long earthquake comes a tsunami. He immediately turned to scan the sea below him. He saw the water recoiling fiercely from the land, only to form a towering wave far out to sea. "Oh no, a fearsome tsunami is coming," he said, quickly setting fire to a torch and rushing towards the shrines where the festival was going on. But as he ran, he realized he would never be able to make it in time to warn the other villagers on the shore. Then he had an idea. He would set fire to the piles of rice stacks that had been harvested and use those as a signal. However, he knew it wasn't right to set fire to someone else's rice harvest. So he went back to his home on the hill and set fire to the ones in his own yard instead. The rice stacks were soon ablaze and smoke billowed upwards. The villagers, who'd been wrapped up in the festival, suddenly took notice. Thinking a fire had started, they rushed to the scene to put it out. When his fellow villagers arrived, puffing and panting uphill, they saw the torch in his hand, and they all thought he'd gone quite mad to set his own harvest alight. Then this man pointed out to sea and said, "Look, a tsunami is coming." Everyone frantically raced further on to the shelter of the mountains. Just as they all clambered to safety, a giant tsunami engulfed the whole village. Fortunately, everyone was spared, and from the bottom of their hearts, the villagers thanked the man who had sacrificed his own valuable rice stacks, his own future, to protect the village. This occurred after the great Ansei earthquake of 1854. Goryeo Hamaguchi was the man who sacrificed his personal property to save the people of his village, and a large memorial building to his memory appears there still. But this story illustrates how Jesus too came to draw all people to himself to rescue them at great personal cost to himself. Here is a song called The Servant King, written and sung by Graham Kendrick.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. You gave your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily servant King.
There in the garden of tears, my heavy load He chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my
surrender.
This is our
the servant
king. You know, there's nothing more frightening than being in absolute darkness. I remember as a child visiting Kent's Cavern, an underground cave in Torquay, the place where people of the Stone Age were supposed to have lived many years ago. A guide showed us round the vast cavern, with all its many tunnels, and we marvelled at the stalactites and the stalagmites, one of which looked like a monk with a hunchback, playing the organ. This guide told us to be very careful where we were walking, because there were lots of sheer drops and chasms all around us. And to demonstrate this, he tossed a stone a short distance away in a gap in the rock floor. We waited a while and then heard it land plop into the water, so it must have been a long way down that drop. And then he gave us the warning, stay very still, don't move. And he said he was going to turn the lights off, just to demonstrate how dark real darkness could be. And I still recall the feeling of sheer terror when he flicked that light switch off. I'd never experienced anything like that kind of darkness before. There'd always been stars or lights on a landing. It was the first time as a child that I felt really afraid, especially with that drop some short way off. I remember standing stock still, afraid to breathe. No night time had ever been that dark for me. It was just inky blackness, and my relief was immense when the guide switched the light back on again. I was so longing for that. Here's a song called Longing for Light, sung by the Notre Dame Choir. So what did Isaiah mean by his words, people living in darkness? I can do no better than point to that experience in Kent's Cavern when that light went off, to illustrate exactly what that means. Such darkness as that symbolises fear, helplessness, blindness. There was I, a child desperate for reassurance and a comforting hand to hold, to be safe and to be protected. Verse 17 of our reading says, from that time on Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He was calling people here to turn right around, away from darkness, and walk in the light. Jesus came directing people to life in all its fullness. I wrote this next song after a questionnaire at school where I was asking, what are you most afraid of? And nearly all of the children wrote the future. It's a song called, Where Do I Go From Here? And Jesus answers it by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm singing here with Pete Scott.
Where do I go from here? What will
do with my life? What will be asked of me? For I fear tomorrow.
I am
searching.
I am the truth.
Searching for.
Those who became Jesus' disciples left everything behind and simply followed him, and they learned from his example. I'm reading on from verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come on to me and lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad.
Many people today may call themselves Christian, but it is said that a true Christian has a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. Can we possibly give ourselves to this end, that is, to turn to the light and never again walk in darkness? It is said that light reveals the dangers covered by darkness. In the light, secrets are revealed and fears are banished. In the light, we can see the truth because there is no place to hide. In the light, we see beauty in all its fullness. I read a lovely statement on Facebook yesterday which spoke of the need to shine our light in the world. I won't read the whole poem, but at the end it says, "Be the change. Be the light. Start today and don't stop." Our final hymn tells us to let your light shine in the darkness. Sung here to end our programme today is Emily Smith from New Scottish Hymns. It's time to say goodbye. From Andrew, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
And from me, Sheila Hamill. Bye for now.